now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Live from the Pulpit, live from the Command Center located in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings and welcome. Glad you tuned in. You probably noticed in the news a lot of talk about homosexual marriage. Here's a story from the AP. Federal judge strikes down Texas gay marriage ban. Federal judge has struck down Texas's ban on gay marriage and is leaving it in place pending a ruling by an appeals court. Later this year, Judge Orlando Garcia issued a preliminary injunction on the ban Wednesday. It was yesterday, by the way. How about this? Arizona governor vetoes controversial anti-gay, quote, religious freedom, end quote, bill. Eric Pfeiffer of Yahoo News wrote this article about SB Senate Bill 1067. Governor Jan Brewer announced that she has vetoed a bill that would allow that would have allowed state businesses to discriminate against gay and lesbian customers. This, of course, is related to a story earlier this year where a photographer had to take photographs at a homosexual wedding, and then I believe a cake baker also was forced to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Brewer told reporters at a press conference on Wednesday the bill is broadly worded and could result in unintended and negative consequences. After weighing all the arguments, I have vetoed Senate Bill 1062 moments ago. That was, again, yesterday. Of course, Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake both expressed appreciation on their Twitter accounts, and in fact, McCain made a statement about it. So yeah, there's that as well. And then this one from Reuters. Majority of Americans now support gay marriage, survey finds. Survey says, out of Washington, support for gay marriage has surged in the United States in the decade since it first became legal in Massachusetts, with just over half of Americans now supporting the idea, according to a survey released on Wednesday. The survey on attitudes towards lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people comes as U.S. lawmakers and courts are increasingly allowing same-sex couples to wed. Imagine that. They legalize it, and then it gains acceptance. When it was illegal, well, people didn't really accept it. It was against the law, for crying out loud. Some 53% of the 4,509 Americans surveyed by the Public Religion Research Institute said they supported gay marriage, up from 32% in 2003, when Massachusetts became the first state to legalize it. Well then, misconceptions. Here's the thing. Median percentage? Those polled also overestimate the size of the LGBT population, with a median estimate of 20%. Well, what did you expect when this kind of stuff is propagated and promoted and perpetuated in television? One out of every five characters on a TV show now is gay. So, wouldn't you think? I mean, just some shows, it's every other character. I mean, it is something which is prolific. It's all over television and different shows. However, just 14% of Americans accurately say that the LGBT population in America is less than 5% or less. Out of a country of, what, 300 million? At least, probably more, but 5% or less. In fact, I've seen figures where it's like 1.5%, maybe, percent. But even if we go with this 5% business, that's 15 million. And we're catering entirely to this Jan Brewer thing. The law itself, I was texting a buddy of mine. He's been on the program before, Brother Sean Andrews. I texted him what his thoughts are. He lives in Arizona. He says, I think the bill was a reactive attempt to protect religious freedoms in advance of anti-gay discrimination lawsuits, which are inevitable. I'm sure her veto was driven by economic concerns like the Super Bowl and boycott threats and stuff like that. Yeah, you had the NFL, who, by the way, is going to welcome in its first gay player. Although he didn't do too well at the combine. He has said, I want to be judged not by my sexuality, but by the conduct or by the character, the content of his performance, essentially. Can he perform? Well, he was average at the NFL combines. Now, he may be a fantastic player. I don't know. We'll see. But he's going to get drafted by some team, and he'll be the first openly gay player in the NFL. Well, with that, you've got the NFL welcoming that in, and at the same time, they're going to have a Super Bowl hosted in Arizona at Cardinal Stadium. Now, they can't have that if Arizona's got this discrimination law, which, I don't know. That's the way it's portrayed in most of the media, some kind of discrimination thing. I don't, quite frankly, I don't know enough about it to say one way or the other. If somebody, it seemed, you know, it used to be, I think I remember growing up, there were certain stores that would post a sign outside that said, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Where are all the discrimination lawsuits from the shirtless and the shoeless? People have a right to, business owners have a right to provide services, render services to individuals or not. So, yeah, so much for freedom. And if they want to do it on a religious basis, for religious reasons, I can understand how, you know, a cake shop, two men come in, say they're going to get married, and this person, because of religious beliefs, this cake baker, doesn't want to bake him a cake and turns him away. Well, then go find another bakery. Right? Photographer doesn't want to provide their services to a gay couple's wedding. Go find another photographer. I heard about a photographer who refused to take pictures of former President George W. Bush. It's because he was a bleeding heart liberal and he didn't want to. He couldn't embrace the artistic side when through the lens he was looking at a man that he really didn't care for. I think about this stuff in the context of the church. I just wonder how long it'll be before the state of California comes knocking because I turned away a gay couple that I didn't want to perform their wedding on religious grounds. I don't believe it's biblical. I've rehearsed the various passages before on this program. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 11, that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they were grossly wicked, and one of their preeminent sins, which gets ink and paper devoted to it, is that of homosexuality. Bring these men out that we may know them. Or as the NIV says, bring them out so that we might have sex with them. Leviticus 18, 22, Leviticus 20, verse 13. Homosexual behavior is an abomination. It deserves, warrants the death sentence. Same punishment as bestiality in Leviticus 20. You have an eerily similar situation to Sodom in Judges 19, verses 22 and following. You have Romans 1, 26 and 27. Homosexuality is listed, one of several sins, but that one has a lot of ink devoted to it, about men and women giving up the natural for the unnatural. Homosexuality is condemned there. It's condemned in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, listed again with a large number of other sins, but homosexual behavior is on that list. Jude 7 talks about unnatural fornication. Fornication is typically sex between a man and a woman outside of the marriage relationship. Unnatural would be, yeah. So categorically, throughout Scripture, homosexuality is condemned. And contrary to what some liberal or progressive Christian theologians would have you to believe, the Bible is the last word on sexual ethics. So, yeah, what's the response? What's the appropriate Christian response to all this? Again, for my buddy Sean, the appropriate Christian response is still compassionate presentation of the gospel, not venomous attacks of the left. And we live in a culture, a society, a country, which has several personalities, which have very large voices on the air that do, on a regular basis, portray the left, portray liberalism as a system which is a great evil in this country. But when we talk about the Christian, we still need to communicate to folks and to people that though they have engaged in this kind of behavior, God is still a God who can change hearts and change minds and transform and shape wills. He's still a God who loves people, who desires for all men to come to knowledge of the truth and to come to repentance and to turn to Him. We need to be a church which welcomes those homosexuals who would turn and repent. We need to bless those who persecute us. We need to bless and not curse, Romans 12 and verse 14. But just as God does for all men who would come to Him, God is calling you, if you are within the sound of my voice and you are engaged in homosexual behavior and conduct, as God has called me, so He is calling you to abandon sin, all sin. Not just the offenses which are evident and preeminent, but all sin, which is all things which are contrary to His will. The conventional wisdom is that God has to accept me for who I am. And quite frankly, no, He doesn't. He calls all of us to holiness. And then there's, of course, the Lady Gaga theology of the day. Well, God made me this way. And again, quite frankly, no, he didn't. You are doing harm to his creation when you engage in these things. You are hardening your heart and hardening yourself against the gospel call. It could come one day that you can no longer respond because you have so hardened yourself through sin. You continue to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, when in fact you should allow the power of God to shape and to mold you and to enable you to forsake and abandon desires which are unholy and profane. Well, I don't see it that way. Okay. I pray that someday God would open and enlighten your heart, that he would open and enlighten your mind to the truth of his word. His word is clear. When you read it, you can perceive and you can understand the things that are written therein. There's a reason God invites us to seek his book and to read it. It's because we can understand it. Come, let us reason together. He's a God who engages the mind, the intellect. And for you, my brothers and my sisters, I hope you know that things aren't going to get better. There's not coming this golden age where, you know, the Christians are going to triumph here on this earth. The world hates us. Darkness hates light. Men love their sins. Sinners love their sins. They really don't want to give them up. And I know there is a tendency to want to say, well, you know, from the pulpit, we really shouldn't condemn. We really shouldn't speak against some of this stuff. To which I say that's high-minded rhetoric, but it simply is unbiblical. Again, I was reminded by my buddy Sean, preaching is inherently offensive because sinners love their sin. John 3, verse 19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Sinners love sin. They love their sin. And so, if I, or if you, because we're all supposed to be involved in the glorious work of preaching, proclaiming the gospel, brothers and sisters, if we preach on sinning, we will offend the sinner. What does that look like specifically? Well, if you preach on lying, you will offend the liar. If you preach against adultery, you will offend the man or woman cheating on their spouse. If you preach on cheating, you're going to offend the swindler. If you preach on stealing, you're going to offend the thief. The list can go on and on. But if you do not preach on these things, then you offend God. No, that's what it comes down to. Who do you want to offend more, men or God? And oh, by the way, if you do inform men of their wickedness, you are a good and faithful watchman. Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel 34. If you don't tell people about their sin, their blood is going to be on your hands. But if you do tell them, and if you do warn them that the judgment of God is coming, that the sword will not be stayed, well, then you're innocent of their blood. May I just ask, how many Christians are guilty of the blood of their friends and their neighbors and their co-workers and their loved ones because of this faulty and erroneous idea that somehow we're not supposed to tell people who are sinners how they might be saved from their sin? This erroneous and faulty and flat-out demonic theology, which says we ought not point out people's faults and sins because we might offend. Well, ya doy. But God help us if we don't. Because in fact, we'll be guilty of their blood. How much blood is on our hands? How much blood is on your hands? Because, well, you want to spare a relationship. You want to spare a friendship. Or, Nick, you ought not say those things in the pulpit because, well, you know, you might offend somebody. They might not come back. If I don't tell them I'm offending God, and quite frankly, it's His word anyway. Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, you just... What? If sin is sin and it is exceedingly sinful and God is holy and perfect, the only bridge between our gross imperfection and the perfection of God is the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I won't leave people in their sins. I will call it as it is, based on the Word of God, and I will tell them how they might abandon and flee and be redeemed from those things, just like you ought to do. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. As I mentioned, things aren't going to get better, brothers and sisters. They are only going to get worse. I will deal with that in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our mission is to seek out and find willing people to be obedient to the gospel and to live according to His will. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek Bible study every Wednesday at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples. I'm going to forego the question of the day segment in order to deal with this. The fact that things... they aren't getting better, and they will continue to get worse. I've said it before, and I will continue to say it, but it is my biblically informed opinion. Again, my biblically informed opinion. I believe we will see the end of America before we see the end of the world. Even the New Testament writers, they believed that they were in the last days or the latter days. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. I believe that we'll see the end of America before we see the end of the world. I believe that because we have a description of the earth just before the last time God destroyed the world. And you get a picture of that over in the book of Genesis just before the flood, back in Noah's day. There were only 8 people who could get on the boat. Noah the patriarch, he was the righteous one. He had his wife. He had his 3 boys and their wives. 8 out of, by that time, millions of people spread all over God's creation. So we aren't there yet, but I think we're a good ways down the road. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 that evil people will go from bad to worse. It isn't getting better. Paul wrote that in the first century. And we've had 19 other centuries to get to where we are today. It isn't getting any better. Just look around you. The continued increase and acceptability of moral depraved behavior in general is a good sign of exactly what I'm talking about. And even if we want to put aside the homosexual agenda, just again, in general, there is an increase in morally depraved behavior, and it's growing more and more acceptable. The acceptance of things like internet pornography, not just among men, but now a growing number of women are finding it acceptable. You can go down a list of a number of things, but you get my drift. Just in general, there is a continued increase in acceptability of morally depraved behavior. Well, will it get better? I don't think so. Wickedness and darkness continue to win the day. This recent thing with the Arizona stuff is an example of secular society putting pressure on other members of secular society to accept this stuff. And quite frankly, the Christian hope is not in a broken world fixing itself, which it cannot do, by the way. You see, the Christian hope is in God righting all wrongs in Christ, and if not now, than when Christ returns. And that includes, by the way, the corrupt nature of man, the flesh within Christians. Man's inclination, his tendency, his proclivity is toward evil, it's toward sin. And only in Christ is there remedy. You see, in Christ, sin no longer has dominion over you. In Christ, you are no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness and the things of God. Yes, that's where our Christian hope is. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with a podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the channel. You get all the Question of the Day segments there. Follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John. Just started Philippians the other day. All there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. LIFE from the pulpit.wordpress.com. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org for plenty of sermon audio and resources there to help you out as well. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, download all the episodes. You'll never be further than a click away from an episode of the podcast. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.